Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. This is the Product of Purpose Camp Network, and this is the show Self Expressions, and I am your host, Brother Robert Pop Pop Hudson. And before we go further, I'm just going to just real quickly give an opening prayer. O God of truth, prepare our minds to hear in He your holy word. Fill up your heart that longs for you with your presence. Lord Almighty Father, with your Son and blessed Spirit, hear our prayers. Teach us to love eternal truth and seek His freedom everywhere. Amen. All right, welcome everybody. Welcome everyone who'll be joining us online via phone. I'd like to thank you for tonight's show. And tonight's show, the topic for tonight is God Wants More. If you get a chance, I'm just going to go over the scriptures that we're going to be going over for tonight. And tonight we're going to be going over Romans chapter 12, verse 1, chapter 12, verse 48, Romans chapter 5, verse 1, Romans chapter 8, verse 1, and 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 to 20, and Acts chapter 1, verses 8. Okay, and real quickly, once again, thanks for joining us for tonight's episode. And if you are online, you want to call into the show at any time, you can call in at 319-527-6091. And you can also call in at 323-870-4174. And, of course, anytime you want to talk to the host, which is me, you can just hit the number one. All right, and as we go on tonight's show, you're going to understand tonight's title. And tonight's title is God Wants More. And once again, before we get started, I'll give out the scriptures that we're going to go over. And it's going to be Romans chapter 12, verses 1, Luke chapter 12, verses 48, Romans chapter 5, verses 1, Romans chapter 8, verse 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 to 20, and Acts chapter 1, verses 8. And God's will, God's blessing, we're going to proceed with tonight's show, and hopefully we get a better understanding of tonight's topic. And as I was saying, tonight's lead scripture is going to be Romans chapter 12, verses 1. Basically, it's going into how Paul exhorts us to present and basically give offer ourselves in the service of God. And as we wind down Black History Month, we got, you know, pretty much one more day left, and then we're just going to be going, you know, we're going to go into March, and it's going to be pretty cold. You know, we come up to PA, and it's going to be pretty cold, and it's going to be hot and cold, and just, you know, pretty much up and down weather here, but, you know, for the most part, you know, the month of February has been good and enriching experience with as far as Black History Month, where there's where you just hear about basically Martin Luther King, and, you know, it's like as far as the explanation or some of the origins in Black History Month, it's been pretty rich this month, where you hear little known African, you know, basically people of, you know, basically African descent, or either from, you know, Haiti, or like Marcus Garvey, he came from Haiti. So it's been pretty enriching as far as Black History Month and some of the history that has been enriched and lost within, you know, the explanation of history. So it's been gratifying to hear that, you know, Black History Month, you know, actually has been enriching. And this, not to, you know, get back on topic, we're just going to go ahead and proceed with tonight's show. Now, as we is talking, you know, talking about reflection, you know, and basically we're going over Romans chapter 12, verses 1. And basically, as you can look back on basically, God is faithful to us. And because He is so faithful, And because he's so awesome, he requires us, his servants, to be faithful also. The word says, to whom much is given, much will be required. That comes from Luke chapter 12, verses 48. And as, you know, we go into, you know, pretty much this year of 2020, I just want to share, you know, with you what I believe is perhaps the greatest problem facing us today. And this is a problem that I believe that has plagued, infested, and infiltrated the body of Christ, basically the church as a whole. You know, let me suggest to you that the greatest problem facing us, not basically what's going outside, which is the major headline grabbers, like, you know, gang problems, not the drug, you know, the drug problems, you know, not the moral values, and, you know, and not the ungodliness that's going around, not the unrighteousness going around, not the darkness on the outside, not sin on the outside. The greatest problem facing us today is not what's going on the outside, but what's not going on the inside. We may be doing everything in our, you know, basically in our sanctuaries and our churches, but God wants more. I believe what Paul is trying to tell us is you're moving in the anointing, you know, your services are flowing, your membership is growing, new programs are being implemented. But he says here in, you know, basically the 12 chapters of Romans, God wants more. You know, and so one of the words he uses is I beseech you. And that word beseech is a term that means to call alongside, to come alongside, to encourage. Paul says, I'm calling you to accountability now. It is in a word that, you know, it's basically what he used it was a reference as far as, you know, back in those times, military terms, where, you know, when I'm calling you for accountability, that means, you know, you have to answer every question that I ask you to a letter. And it tells what happens, you know, basically when a military leader calls, you know, a soldier to action. You know, when the troops are on their way, you know, to a war, the commander will call them together because, you know, they were prepared to do battle. That's the same term used here. Paul says, I'm calling you to attention. I'm calling you to come together. I beseech you. I encourage you. I exhort you. I'm trying to get, I'm trying to get you to see the urgency here. You know, I plead with you. I'm encouraging you. I comfort you. I challenge you, he says. And he says, I beseech you, therefore, now we've just come to, you know, what I want us to call basically a spiritual stop sign. And we're going to stop, you know, basically, I beseech you, therefore. The word therefore is basically a connecting word and key to the, you know, to the whole entire verse. Excuse me. We must, you know, recognize that the word therefore means I said, and based on what I said, I'm getting ready to say, you know, something else. He says, I beseech you therefore, and we can't go any further until we find out what the therefore is basically placed there for, because therefore is there for a reason. And unless we know that, you know, what the therefore is there for, you know, we wouldn't understand what he's saying following the therefore, because what he's saying following therefore is based on what he said before he said therefore. So let's see if we can discover what therefore is there for. He says, I have discovered that there are three crucial therefores. Remember, therefore means I said, and based on what I said, I'm getting ready to say something else. So if we were to outline, you know, basically Romans chapter 12, you know, we find out that the first crucial therefore is found basically not in Romans chapter 12, verses 1. It's going to be actually based on this in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It is the first crucial therefore. You know, all that he said from, you know, chapters verses 1 to 1 and Romans to 4 verses 25 hinges on chapter basically what 5:1 says, where he says in, you know, Romans 5:1, that the word, you know, that the word is justified basically in a legal term, which means to declare righteousness. It means that we have been declared innocent. We have been declared righteousness. We have been basically declared blameless. It is a term that's used basically in a court of law. So basically, let me just break it down to you. If you did it, you get caught, you know, committing a crime. You've been hauled off basically to the court of law. You know, you see, we all have committed, you know, the crime of sin and been found basically guilty. And that's in Romans chapter 3, verses 23. But God is the judge at our trial, basically, and we have been given an attorney. John calls him basically an advocate at the time. So basically, we'll have an advocate. So, you know, basically, someone is going to be there to plead a case. And if you check, you know, basically, you know, you're like the credentials. Basically, we're witnesses to Jesus Christ. You know, basically himself, the son of the judge. And so let's just say we're going to have an attorney. We're going to plead our case. And but we're, you know, basically we're willing to take, you know, the penalty because we're basically offering ourselves up to the court of law, and it, you know, basically the court of law is just, you know, we're up to the mercy of the law, and basically we're in the court based on God's law. So therefore, you know, in any court of law, you know, they ask you, you know, to tell the truth. Or basically bear witness, or, you know, as sometimes famously heard, can I get a witness? So as we go, you know, there, and we just, you know, as we give our, you know, basically our testimony, which we do, you know, sometimes, and, you know, when we go to the sanctuary, or we go to the church. And so basically, you know, as we, and you know, and move on and endeavor ourselves in our daily activities, you know, we're called basically to stand, and we're there to do what? Testify. And when I say testify, we're there to declare our righteousness. And you know, I'm not saying that we're declaring blamelessness, but because, you know, Jesus basically sacrificed his life for our sins. And now that's where I come to the crucial part is where we have to, you know, be witnesses. All right, so now we come to the second crucial, therefore, and that comes in Romans chapter 8, verses 1. You know, he says, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. After, you know, the flesh, but after the spirit. In other words, although we are uncommitted and we are uncondemned because of the penalty for our sin was paid by Jesus Christ. And due to the fact that Jesus paid the penalty, God not only laid the penalty and the punishment of sin on us, Isaiah said he was wonderful for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, and chastisement for our peace was upon him. And with it, you know, with his stripes, we are healed. And that's in Isaiah 53, verses 5. But therefore, you start to shout, you know, look at this. The penalty of sin has already been paid. Therefore, you are no longer condemned. And since you are no longer condemned, you now have a responsibility to the one who has declared you righteous and declared you uncondemned. That leads us back to where, you know, when we started at, where he says in Romans chapter 12, verses 1, now, based on all you said, based on the fact that you deserve damnation, and based on the fact that my son did stand in your place, based on the fact that you did stand before me guilty, based on the fact that my son took the penalty for you, and based on the fact God has not given you what you deserve, based on the fact that you are no longer condemned, based on all of that, now I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, God says. Based on all that I have done, you now have a responsibility, he says. I beseech you, you therefore, brethren, you know, now understand that, you know, when Paul uses the term brethren, he doesn't use it in an ethnic sense. It's in a spiritual sense. Paul here is talking to people who have already been saved. And when he's talking about the people who's already been saved, you know, Paul is, you know, he's speaking to basically the sanctuary, to folks who have been saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, folks who come to church and sing in the choir, and they basically serve in the altar board, pay their tithes. He's talking to folks that are already saved. But he challenges them to do something they have not already done. You see, God is never interested in when you got saved, as he is with what have you done since you've been saved. He's talking to folks that's already saved. And he confronts them to do something that they have not already done. Be searched. You therefore by the mercies of God. You present your bodies. In other words, you're already giving me something, but you have not given me all that I want. He's talking about discipleship. He's talking about surrender. I beseech you, brethren, sisterin, saints of God, to do something that you have not already done. And he says, I'm basing all this on the mercies of God. Amen. And, you know, now we got to understand the difference between grace and mercy. And grace is God's unmerited favor, in other words, when God gives you what you don't deserve. Mercy, on the other hand, is when God doesn't give you what you do deserve. Let me give you an example, okay, of grace and mercy. You know, grace and mercy, they basically go hand in hand, but one follows up after another at some point. You know, grace and mercy is, you can go to King, you know, we can go back to David when he was a shepherd. You know, he was anointed. He's a man after God's own heart. But, you know, God is the Alpha and Omega. He's the author and finisher. He knows what's going to happen before it happens. He knows that David was going to basically, you know, commit grievous sins. But through the honesty and through how God accepted David, God accepted him back with open arms. So David came from a child warrior hero to a king. And, you know, in between, you know, he committed sins to, you know, Mary Bathsheba, you know, his wife. And how he did it was, it was not something that God favored in how he did it and the way he did it. But God ultimately forgave David because he prayerfully and you know, and willfully, you know, got back into the grace of mercy of God. And so we can go back, you know, basically, you know, because of paraphrasing how God, you know, will probably see it, you know, because of my son Jesus, I'm going to give you what you don't deserve, and that's grace. And I'm going to withhold what you do deserve, and that's mercy. And based on, you know, based on the fact and what's going on with, you know, what has going on with David, you know. So basically, he's not going to give you what you deserve, you know, that you present your body, that you present your bodies. You know, let me just basically stop right there and just, you know, pose a question. When, you know, when was the last time you broke God's law without your body? When was the last time you disobeyed God without basically your body? You know, when he says present to him your body, he means literally all that you are. You know, your body is an instrument of your sin, basically your hands, your feet. But the challenge is that you present your body as a given sacrifice, you know, holy and basically acceptable. Not basically, but acceptable. But what does, you know, what does Paul mean by present? You know, the word present is what I want, you know, to call a technical term. Because the way it's presented here, the way Paul put it, is that you'll probably never see it again in another version of the Bible. When Paul says present, somebody automatically knew that what he was talking, you know, they knew what he's talking about. The word present was a word that was useful to describe what happens when you go to the temple to worship. You know, to see when you, you know, basically, there's always a priest there. And the worshiper will come and take his offering or sacrifice in his hand and then come, you know, before the altar and place, you know, his present, basically, his offering in the hand of the priest. It's a technical term. You know, he places his offering in his hand. He comes before the priest and his place offering in the hand of the priest is a technical, is like what I'm saying is that there's a precise movement that you do when you present or when you have presented, you know, yourself. And you know, before that precise technical moment, nothing that you know say or do as presenting, you know, your place in the offering or the hand, you come before the altar. You're at the altar. You know, you come before the priest and you place in his hand. You know, you place your offering in his hand. Then you have basically presented your offering. In other words, you have not presented when you place your offering in your hand that you have, you know, presented when you come to the temple. So you have basically have not presented, you know, your place of offering in the hands of the priest. So no matter what kind of offer you have, unless you place it in the hand of the priest, you have not presented your offer. So the reason why I'm saying this is a technical term, because, well, you know, without that, you know, if the priest, like I said, a priest is always there at the temple. And so basically your offer has to be placed in his hands for you have to present your offer. So if you have not presented your offering, like say you have wheat or something that is precious, there's something that, you know, has to be protected by the element or something that's in a jar, a perfume or something. Before you get to the priest to present your offering, if you drop and break it or if it's flawed in some way, and, you know, when and in those times you want to make sure you did not offer you want to make sure you had gave forth, you know, the best offering you had, not something that you scrapped up or something that you scrambled around or say, hey, this is something old or this is something. It was something precious or something very much valued in your heart and in your word, and, you know, the way you look at it. So basically what they didn't stop it, but So the technical moment was once you were off going to present the offering, if that offering didn't get there the way you intended to, then you have not, like I said, if it was some kind of way that you dropped it, you broke it, you spilled it, the dirt got in the perfume or the spices, and the offerings, you know, it depends on what it was. And the technical term was, when you presented your offering, that was when it was actually placed in the hands of the priest. So at any point between you bringing your offering and presenting your offering made it difficult, because especially if you had something that was of value and there were ways that your presentation could have been altered, could have had outcomes of where it was unfavorable to you or, you know, for your offering. And I was reading my notes, and I wanted to add that there because it looks, you know, when I started, you know, started reading, it didn't look like it was self-explanatory to me, but that was, you know, in those days, in those biblical times, you know, that's how they looked at your spirituality as far as your offerings. You know, if they thought your offerings were weak, they thought your beliefs were weak. They thought that the very beliefs that you had, as far as if you say, I believe in God with all my heart, look at your offering and say, well, you have foul perfume, or you have, weak old bread or something like that. Basically, you know, it was determined not by, you know, what your, you know, what your intentions were. You know, you didn't intend to break up the, you know, the vial of perfume that you were going to present. But ultimately, like I said, some, that's why I said it was a technical term. It was to a presentment. Okay, so, you know, until basically, and let's get back on topic now, until you place your body, until you place your life, until you place your career, until you place your family, and until you place your future, and until you place your all and put it in the hands of God, and then take your hands off of it, you have not presented and you have not committed, because God wants more. You know, coming to the sanctuary, to the church, you know, it's not enough. You know, it does not matter how many times, you know, you've come to church, how big your Bible is. If you have not given him control, you're not committed. You know, it doesn't matter how long you've been a member of the church. You know, if you're still calling, you know, basically the shots wherever you go at work, at home, you know, you're not committed. It doesn't matter how much money you pay, you know, how sweet your songs are when you sing, or how pretty your prayers are. You know, you're still calling the shots in your life, and you still haven't taken your hands off of, basically, you haven't taken your hands off of, you know, the control you have, and you're not putting trust in God. You know, you're not committed. And basically, as I was describing, you have not presented yourself to the Lord. You know, coming to church on Sunday is not, you know, a commitment. That's habit. You know, singing in the choir, being able to sing some of the most beautiful songs, you know, being an usher, you know, being a deacon, being an associate pastor, it's not a commitment. That's basically rehearsal. You know, that's something that you do every Sunday automatically. You get up and you do it with your eyes closed. So when he says, I beseech you that you present, it means that you take your life and all you have, you know, place it in God's hands, and then take your filthy hands off of it, because God's calling the shots. God's making decisions, and God's in control. And anything less than that is not a commitment, because God wants more. You know, and we're going to go, and let me just thank everybody that's listening online. If you're listening online, anytime you want to call in, you can call in at 319-527-6091. And also you can call in at 323-870-4174. And anytime you want to chime in, or even just hit the number 1. And we thank you so much for your support for our online listeners. And right now, those in the chat room, I'll get to you as soon as I can. And I just thank you so much for coming on for tonight's episode. I couldn't imagine doing anything else tonight but hosting tonight's show. And, you know, with that being said, we'll go ahead back into our topic. And basically, the topic for tonight is God wants more. And so basically, getting back to what I'm saying, you know, what it means is that, excuse me, we have to set aside, you know, for God to use us. And for only God to use us. You know, we need to understand that our body belongs to God, and that it is, you know, basically it is sacrifice, you know, or set apart, and that, you know, we're his property. Why? Because Paul says it is your reasonable service. The word reasonable comes from the Greek word lykos, which means logically, by investigation. Paul is saying, I'm calling on you to present your body to the Lord, and that it is your reasonable service, he says. I have investigated it, and it is logical. And in other words, it just makes sense, is what he's saying. And, you know, that was his reason. You know, well, Paul, basically they was asking Paul, well, Paul, why does it make sense? You know, why is it logical? You know, you investigated it. You checked it out, and the results of the analyst is that it just makes sense. But Paul, why is it so logical that I give all my all to God? You know, the answer is basically found, you know, right back when we started from. Well, not right back when we started from, but at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 to 20, and he says, What do you not that your body is temple of the Holy Ghost, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorifying God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So Paul is telling us, when God says to us that we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, it makes sense simply because when you give yourself to God, you're giving him back what he already owns. He's saying that we ought to do that because we belong to God. And in fact, his twice. Because one, because he's made us and he knows all about us. And two, because he's paid for us. When he sent his son, Jesus, to die on Calvary, he says, you know, what am I trying to say? Is that you've got to present your body as a sacrifice to be used of God because you belong to him. And all that you have and all that you are, you know, it belongs to him. And that's, you know, that was basically Paul's, you know, explanation. Because Paul, he just doesn't, you know, and we all know that Paul was shy, but Paul, Paul had some swagger, he had some elegance with, you know, he wasn't just there to just bash him over the head with the word and just be gone with it and then go on to the next mission. Paul wanted to make sure that he totally got everyone to understand what he was saying. And the only way for Paul to do that, you know, Paul wanted to make sure that in the words that he was using, he wanted to make sure that they actually thought everything through. And basically, Paul was saying, listen, I've done all this and I've done all that. I've researched everything. But what he says is, I want you to go ahead and basically, as he's breaking it down, is, now you're sitting here looking at me like you don't believe me. So if you don't believe me, you go back and you research it. So you backtrack everything I did, and you go ahead and you learn from yourself. So that's the way the reason why Paul broke everything down, because he wanted to make sure that now that he established the fact that now that you want to challenge me to every word for word that I'm doing, I wanted to make sure that now that we established the fact that you've asked me and I told you and you don't believe me because you've asked me these questions, you go back and you do the research. And so now you come, so when you do the research, you come back as rich as I am, and knowing the word and knowing that now we are, you know, now that, you know, that we've established that, you know, twice, we have good reason to give us, you know, give in to, you know, our all to God. And that's, you know, basically, in the way he did it, like I said, he did it, and pretty cool, you know, he did it with, you know, some little swagger and a little bit pizzazz, and, you know, he did it in a way where it was, you know, how when you deal with a bunch of people and you're dealing with basically different attitudes. So what he did was he got all of them to have one frame of mind, and that was just that questioning frame of mind. And once he got them all into that one frame of mind, then he was able to direct them back to where he needed to be. And Paul realized that his aim was at the church. But what he also noticed that the leadership of the church was the same atmosphere as the congregation. So what Paul wanted to do was he wanted to aim that leadership in the right direction. All right, and like I said, I'd like to thank my listeners in the chat room, and I'll get to you as soon as I can. And I thank you for your support and your hellos, and hello to everyone there in the chat room. And like I said, I'll get back to you, when I can. If it's after the show, just hang in there. I'll go ahead and jump on the chat line. But thanks so much. And also my online listeners and my listeners on the phone, I thank you so much. And at any time, you know, you just want to hop in the chat line and talk or listen to the show live, you can just call in at 319-527-6091. Also, we got the phone number for T-Mobile and Metro customers, which is 323-870-4174. And like I said, anytime you want to join the conversation, you hit the number 1. And like I said, thank you so much.
All right.
So we just want to get back into trying to wrap things up, and then we'll pretty soon be doing the call of salvation. You know, basically, you know, as I explain everything, I can hear somebody saying, well, God, you know, what are we going to do with, you know, what are you going to do with me? You know, basically, what are we going to do? You know, how do you want to use me in your service? So in the Bible, in Acts verses 1 and chapter 8, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost upon you, and you shall be my witness. The word witness is, again, now this is a legal term, and, you know, and you know, that talks about what happens in the court of law. It's when you get on the witness stand and you put your hand on the Bible, and the clerk says, do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? And now, you know, someone says, hey, I want to be a witness. You know, I want to testify. I want to testify about what I heard. You know, I heard, you know, basically they just say, we just want to be saying Jesus is on trial. I heard he was born of a virgin named Mary. I heard he, you know, came down through 42 generations. I heard they wrapped him, swaddled in cloth, and I heard they laid him in the manger. But when you start testifying about what you heard, that's where the devil comes in. And just like any other, you know, any lawyer that's, you know, up against your testimony, is going to say objection, objection. That testimony is not admissible, you know. And it's because that you heard it, you know, what you're saying is hearsay. And they say, can I get another witness? You know, and basically they go run down the line with that witness. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? And somebody says, yeah, I want to testify. I believe that he healed the sick. I believe he raised the dead. I believe he walked on water one day. I believe they lied on him and accused him. I believe they put an old rusty cross on his back and marched him up. I believe they put nails in his hands and nails in his feet. I believe they placed a crown of thorns on his head. I believe they put a spear in his side. I believe, you know, I believe he hung there. And from the sixth to ninth hour, I believe he hung. He hung and basically until he gave, you know, to gave up, not gave up, but you know, to became the Holy Ghost. I believe they put him on the tomb. I believe they stayed there all night, Friday, all day Saturday, all night. Saturday, I believe, that early Sunday morning, power, all power in his hands. And when you start testifying about what you believe, that's what the devil, that gives him that, you know, objection, objection. You know, and that's what they want to do. They want to put, the devil wants to ease his way into your testimony and put an objection in there. That testimony, basically, you're going to say it's not admissible in court because what you believe is hearsay. Can I get another witness? And then that's where, you know, is there anybody here? They'll say, we can testify for the Lord. And will you take the stand and be a witness? Will you stand and be a witness for the Lord? Do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth? Nothing but truth and all that. And, you know, then you get somebody that says, I want to testify. I don't want to talk about what I heard because you're going to say that's just hearsay. I don't want to talk about what I believe because that's just what you're going to say as a conjurer. But I've got a testimony, and I want to testify about what I know. Is there somebody here who knows that God has done for them? You know, they ought to stand up and be a witness. And I don't know what he's done for you. And because he's done so much, I hear him saying, no matter what life may bring, all you have to do is turn it over to Jesus because he can work it out. And through, you know, the Paul's diligence trying to, you know, write the churches. And, you know, in my, you know, example of, you know, you bearing witness and you testifying. Because when, you know, when we're out and basically we're doing evangelistic work when we're out in the streets, you know, there's going to be people who want to poke in pinholes and your testimony and how you testify and what you do. You know, it's not easy, you know, testifying and trying to bring, you know, enlightenment and letting people know what God has done for you. And because there's always going to be the naysayers and the doubters. It's going to be the ones that's going to be like a lawyer trying to take you, trying to take your words apart, trying to spin and flip your words. Because if they can do that, you know, and the devil is, you know, he has a way of easing his way into small places and turning things around. Because, you know, when you hear it enough sometimes, it may give you doubt in some of the things that you say and how you do it. But if you don't give your, if you don't give in to God wholeheartedly, you know, and like I said, God is there. God has your back and God's there to guide you. And, you know, but one of the things that we fail to realize is that just as well as we're giving our testimony and just as well as, you know, we're testifying for God, there's other people that's waiting here that's tear down our testimony and tearing down our ability to bear witness of what it is. And, you know, like I said, just as well as they have, you know, how they try to, you know, when I was basically comparing like a lawyer and saying objection, well, that's how the devil works his way in. That's how he, when that little objection, when you're on the street and you're talking to somebody and they're saying, you know, you know the devil knows the Bible just as good as you do. But when you're talking to somebody and you're saying, hey, this is in this scripture, or if you say, I think it's in that scripture, that's when we run into trouble. And that's when they say, well, no, I think they go from, I think it's not, to that scripture. And then they go to, I think it says this, which is not quite, you know, word for word or verbatim of what it actually, you know, what the actual wording is in the Bible. And don't forget, we got many, you know, we got different versions of the Bible. And we have those that like to manipulate the Bible for it to say, or they finally find a scripture, but not read it in the whole context to make it look or present itself the way they want it to be presented. And I know you hear that all the time. And I know sometimes we just, you know, we instead of sitting there and waiting to break everything down and say, hey, let's put this, can we talk next week or can we talk tomorrow? Where I have the King James Bible, or I have the Message version of the Bible, and can we, you know, can we get together and we'll just go ahead and discuss this? Because right now, you know, at times, you know, we just, you know, as far as not proving, you know, what we have in the Word, you know, or what we believe in the Word, and we got having proof to back it up, you know, that invalidates a lot of things that we say. And that's where they go ahead and ease in, and they can go say, you know, later on, oh, you know what Brother Rob said the other day? Well, and they can pull out any version of the Bible, and they can just know if there's one word that's altered in such a way where it seems that you didn't know what you're talking about, then they can go ahead and they can bring that charge that the devil has into, you know, another soul that could have been converted over to Christ. And how that happened is by not being diligent and letting God take it over. You know, we have that thing, that ego, where we think, you know, that, hey, I'm going to go ahead and convert this soul right now. But sometimes it's not, you know, every teaching and every lesson is not for one to learn from you. Sometimes it could be from someone else. You know, one of the better lessons I had gotten from the Bible, besides being, you know, a young child in church, was from when I converted to Islam. And one of the things was, you know, I had my nice new Quran, and, you know, I was reading, you know, a lot of the scriptures that they had gave me for the Quran. And then they had little footnotes and references which referred me back to the Bible. And hearing every, you know, thing that I was trying to learn, grasp, and everything kept gravitating back to the Bible. And I sort of realized, I said, you know, I've learned more about the Bible here than, you know, in my adult life than anywhere else. Because from the constant references and footnotes that, you know, was in the Quran. And I said, you know, I asked God, you know, I just needed a little guiding light or a little shove somewhere. I said, because right now I think I'm wasting my time, and I'm really unsure what I'm doing. You know, once I earnestly, you know, prayed and through more revelations and more understanding, I got to understand that, you know, just because I was somewhere that I didn't need to be, or I thought I didn't want to be, or I was just totally confused, you know, there was always that guiding light that, you know, he had. And it never went away. It was always there. Because what it did was it helped build, you know, basically a better character, better understanding. Because through my, you know, my constant references and cross-referencing back to the Bible, it actually gave me a better, stronger foundation in my Christianity. And with that being said, I'm just going to pause right there. I'm just going to go ahead and do the call of salvation, do the announcements, and then we're going to get back to the show. We're going to wrap things up. All right. So doing the call of salvation is to invite someone to turn your life over to Christ. You know, when we turn our life over to Christ, it's something that we should deeply consider, because Christ, you know, he gave a huge sacrifice. He gave his only begotten Son to die on the cross for our sins. You know, and you can, no matter how you look at it, you know, that is something, you know, that it takes so much to give your only begotten Son, and that's what he did. You know, and it's something we shouldn't look over lightly. This is something we should really consider. And, you know, through his Son, you know, we see him. So, you know, with that, you can say, you know, Christ, please, you know, accept apologies for my sins and, you know, my past misbehaviors. You know, I want to know his Father. I want to get closer to him. I want to change my life over. I rebuke all the sins I did in my life, and I just want to change and become new. And I accept you in my life. But once you've done that, you know, you've changed. You become a new person. You know, you've been welcomed into the kingdom. And when you become welcomed into the kingdom, one of the things I, you know, suggest you do is you shout loud and let someone know that you turn your life over to Christ. You know, let them know that you've turned the page and you entered a new chapter in your life, that you are beginning anew. And you can tell anyone. You can tell your mother. You can tell your friends. Matter of fact, you don't have to talk. Tell someone. You can just call them, text them. You can do, you know, and we have many different media forms, and you can just go ahead and do it and express yourself. You know, just don't wait to let someone know. Just let them know right then and there. And after you've done that, I suggest you find a Bible, believing, teaching, preaching sanctuary that will nurture you in the word of Christ. And if you can't find that church home, that's why I'm here at Purpose Kingdom Network, where we offer a night of ministry almost every night that we're able to. We wish that you be able to find that home sanctuary. If you can't find that, you can join us right here on www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. Have that church without walls so you can find that home church. If you want to correspond with us here at Purpose Kingdom Network, you can correspond with us here at purposekingdomnet@gmail.com, where you can send comments, questions, concerns. You can simply say hello or send a prayer request. We gladly honor that. We're also on Instagram and Twitter at purpose_kingdom. We're also on Facebook. We invite you to like us on Purpose Kingdom. We can see our upcoming shows and advertisements on there. And we invite you to follow any of our social media pages, so you can go on anchor.com or Anchor FM to hear our morning word of prayer. And there you can get a morning word of inspiration almost each and every morning also, as well as us offering our ministry at night. You can get a morning word of inspiration on anchor.com via Purpose Kingdom. We thank you so much. And with God's will and God's blessing, we hope you join us tomorrow evening at the 9 p.m. hour for Study for Life, hosted by Pastor Toy Daly. If anybody's noticed that I've switched days, I'm on a day early. Pastor Toy will be on tomorrow evening at the 9 p.m. hour for Study for Life. And we hope, with God's will and God's blessing, everybody will be able to join us for tomorrow evening show. And with that being said, this is going to be the end of the announcements. And, you know, before I end the announcement, just to let everybody know, if you want to hear any of our past or previous shows, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. where you can simply type in the host name and the show name, and you can hear that show in its entirety, and that's your convenience. All right, so we're going to get back to our show. And when, let me see, last point I was talking about, it is basically how we work our testimony in, and, you know, we make sure that our testimony, you know, matches up with our beliefs because of how, you know, the devil can creep in. And it's not just, you know, when I say the devil, it's a reference to, you know, people that, you know, all of a sudden they feel compelled to share or find a breakage in your testimony. And, you know, why and how they do that, they get their reaction from you when you don't, when you're not totally committed, and when you're not totally, as you know, some people say, all in, you know, with God, then they just constantly, you know, sometimes you know, if you're not all in, sometimes some people can pull it off. And I'm not saying that somebody's faking, but if you're not wholeheartedly committed and turning your life over and let them, you having going with your game plan, then like anything man made is made to fail. Anything guided by God is continuous and sustainable. And you know, it's what I basically, the overall message is when basically saying that if you're not all in, then there's some things that can happen along the way. And I know some people that have been successful not going all in, but the desired results are not always the same. And like I said, you know, anything God driven is sustainable, you know. And that was basically my overall message right there. Real quickly, I'm going to wrap up everything. And I will be on the second Friday of next month for Self-Expression Sports Edition. Please feel free to tell a friend. All my shows, whether they're sports editions or self-expression, the regular show is going to start at 8 p.m. Today's show started at 8 p.m., even though I'm on earlier, but I'd like to thank everybody that clearly spread the word that I was wanting to make. Thank you so much. And self-expression, the regular show will be on in another 2 weeks. Like I said, I'd like to thank each and every one of you for joining me tonight. I had fun. I just really, really, truly can't think of anything else I'd rather be doing any of the nights I'm broadcasting. You know, no matter what I'm doing, it is really, you know, like I said, I'm really having fun, and I really like doing this. Wish, you know, basically that, you know, God curses everyone at the sound of my voice and the sound of, the you know, the voices that are in your area and in your vocation, you know, vocational area. I just wish to, you know, spread the, you know, blanket of peace among everybody. Like I said, we're in Philadelphia, PA, and there just seems to be so much violence around, but, you know, we can pray it away. We can pray it away, you know, and everything we believe, we can pray it away. I know that, you know, we have new commissioners and things like that, but everything, you know, we can give it to God. He can take care of it. And, like I said, this is, you know, this is fun. Had a great time. You know, thank everyone. And, you know, with God's will, God's blessing, we continue on. This is already, you know, the start of the year. But this is, you know, this is some of the things that, you know, we have to look at. You know, this is the terms of endurance. You know, this is part of our, you know, our testimony and how we make it through and how we go through. You know, one of the things I always say is make sure you love yourself. If you don't love yourself, you can't love anyone. You know, and if we can't love ourselves, we can't love one another. So we have to make sure that we got that, you know, we establish that love that we have for ourselves, and then we can extend it outward. You know, I really don't know the cause of the problem that's going on in my city here, but, you know, like I said, I'm not done praying. And with that being said, you know, I'll be seeing you in another 2 weeks, and peace.
Jesus led.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose.
Never want to see me down, I will not lose.
baby.